It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
President Biden was scheduled to be in Pittsburgh on Friday to talk about the U.S. economy and his infrastructure package as the $1.9 trillion allocated by the bill are beginning to be distributed to states. And then the urgent need for those dollars to get moving and projects begun quickly was punctuated when a snow-covered bridge in Pittsburgh collapsed Friday morning. Early reports show 10 injured, thankfully none of them life-threatening, though television news footage shows at least four vehicles on that collapsed bridge with another one dangling over the edge. One of the vehicles involved was a Red Port Authority bus. President Biden was expected to speak on infrastructure during his remarks, stressing the importance of the recently passed bill that is intended to fund repair and maintenance of the nation's roads, bridges, railways, and other physical infrastructure. On Thursday, they made it official. President Biden, reacting to Justice Stephen Breyer's plan to retire from the Supreme Court, reaffirming his pledge to nominate a black woman.
I will select a nominee worthy of Justice Breyer's legacy of excellence and decency. While I've been studying candidates' backgrounds and writings, I've made no decision except one. The person I will nominate will be someone with extraordinary qualifications, character, experience, and integrity. And that person will be the first black woman ever nominated to the United States Supreme Court. It's long overdue, in my view. I made that commitment during the campaign for president, and I will keep that commitment.
The 83-year-old Breyer met with Biden at the White House, where the president praised him and vowed to nominate a replacement by the end of February. Biden has already met with one of the potential nominees, Ketanji Brown Jackson, one of Breyer's former clerks, who the president interviewed for her current job as an appeals court judge in the D.C. Circuit not too long ago. Breyer's retirement before the fall midterms gives Biden the opportunity to pick a justice while Democrats control the Senate. Russia and the United States said on Thursday that they remain open to diplomacy to resolve the Ukraine crisis, although Moscow said it was clear that the U.S. and NATO allies were not willing to address its security concerns. A day earlier, the U.S. and NATO submitted written responses rejecting Russia's demand that Ukraine be barred from NATO membership. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov said Russia, which has massed 100,000 troops near its Ukraine border and raised fears that it plans to invade, needed time to review the situation, but said that the U.S. and NATO responses left little reason to be optimistic. On the other side, President Biden reiterated to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky that there is a, quote, distinct possibility Russia could invade Ukraine in February. But a senior Ukrainian official told CNN that our two countries are not on the same page and that the lengthy call between the two presidents, quote, did not go well. The Biden administration disagreed with that characterization. Biden also Thursday called for the first UN Security Council meeting on the situation along Russia's Ukraine border. NATO is also rapidly trying to reinforce its presence in the region, ostensibly to help ease tensions. Alrighty then. Well, in this case, a loss for Joe Biden is good for us and the planet. A federal judge on Thursday invalidated a huge offshore oil and gas lease sale in the Gulf of Mexico, ruling that the Biden administration violated federal rules by relying on an analysis that did not fully take into account how the leases would affect the climate. In his first days in office, President Biden issued an executive order pausing any new oil and gas drilling permits. Well, 13 states filed a lawsuit, and a Louisiana judge blocked the order. So the Biden administration, saying its hands were tied, offered 80 million acres for drilling leases in the Gulf of Mexico. They sold 1.7 million of those acres of leases, netting nearly $192 million. Environmental groups sued over the sale, saying it was based on flawed assumptions from an outdated model, and said the sale amounted to a, quote, ticking carbon bomb. Well, U.S. District Court Judge Rudolph Contreras agreed and vacated dozens of those leases. Now that the open enrollment period is over, the good news is that a record number of Americans, about 14.5 million, enrolled in health coverage through the Affordable Care Act insurance marketplaces this year. The total, obliterated the previous enrollment high by nearly 2 million. The data marked a victory for President Biden, who has made expanding insurance access one of his domestic priorities. So more of us are covered, but apparently fewer are protected. That's because millions of Americans, as a result of the pandemic, are behind on flu, hepatitis, chickenpox, and other routine vaccinations. Adults and adolescents have missed more than 37 million routine vaccines. Experts are stressing the importance of getting up to date as soon as possible, as such widespread lapses in routine vaccinations could put even more strain on our already overworked healthcare system. In a related development, a new variant of the Omicron variant, this one called BA.2, is also being talked about. But experts are saying there's no reason to panic, as there is no indication that it causes any more severe symptoms or spreads more easily than the original strain of Omicron. Alrighty then. And there's good news. The U.S. economy grew by 5.7% in 2021, its strongest growth since 1984. In 2020, the economy shrank by 3.4%, the largest drop in 74 years. The turnaround came after the federal government provided trillions of dollars in COVID-19 relief. Growth picked up in the fourth quarter as companies managed to partially restore inventories that had been depleted by supply chain disruptions caused by the pandemic and strong demand. The recovery and supply problems have resulted in high inflation as well as job growth, which have made it possible for the Fed to map out plans to wind down its efforts to boost the economy with asset purchases and near zero interest rates. Time to hunker down. A bomb cyclone is brewing and expected to batter the Northeast this weekend with heavy snow, wind, and coastal flooding. More than 55 million Americans are currently under winter storm watches and travel advisories. Some forecasts remain unclear, but most are showing that eastern Massachusetts, including Boston and Rhode Island, could be hit hard with 12 to 24 inches of snow, combined with wind gusts topping 60 miles per hour. The storm is expected to form off the coast of the Carolinas on Friday, and once it reaches the East Coast, it may dump as many as 14 inches of snow in portions of Connecticut and New York, where wind gusts could reach as high as 55 miles per hour. Parts of North Carolina and southeastern Virginia could also see up to 3 inches of snow and high winds. And for many of us outside of the immediate vicinity, temperatures are expected to plummet. Even down here in South Florida, we're told the mercury could drop into the 30s this weekend. And finally, there's a cat in the White House again. Willow is a 2-year-old gray and white tabby. First Lady Jill Biden met Willow while on the campaign trail in 2020. Dr. Biden was speaking at a farm in western Pennsylvania when this cat jumped on the stage, interrupting her remarks. The owner of the farm said that they knew then that Willow belonged with Dr. Biden. And the rest, as they say, is history. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.